Hello, and thanks for joining us for an episode of The Chamber Podcast. This is Sarah Solomon. The Chamber created this podcast to introduce you to business leaders, change makers, and community members while diving into key topics that affect life in Tallahassee. In just a second, you'll drop into part two of a conversation with Skip Foster, publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat. Jay Rebel, Vice President of the Tallahassee Chamber, and me, Sarah Solomon, talked to him a little bit more about the things that he likes to do outside of his role in the news industry. If you missed part one, please check it out, and we hope you enjoy the second half of this conversation.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, what else you do in town, things that that you like doing. Tell us a little bit about your family. What's Skip doing when he's not trying to, you know, navigate and balance all those things we've just been discussing?
Yeah, well, Skip, you know, works a lot. So, and back to your question, Sarah, about retention, mm-hmm. You know, we're on call every minute of every day. Maybe not technically, but you never know when Air Force One is going to fall out of the sky and crash into the Capitol, right? Obviously something we don't hope ever happens, but beyond that, my wife Dina she was a judge for quite a few years, 15 years or so in North Carolina, and is now practicing family law at Pennington. My daughter is graduated up in North Carolina from Elon University and is working at Moore. I've got a son at FSU in the hospitality department. I've got a son at Childs that will be a senior this year. Love to play golf. We live out at north of town and love to, you know, walk out there, walk the trails and stuff like that. And then just partake of the sports and the entertainment stuff that exists here. Look, don't get me wrong. This is a great place to live. And we hope we never leave. So I know we've spent a lot of time here talking about the wards and stuff, but love Tallahassee, and every hope is that we spend the rest of our life here. We're very happy to be here.
I think a lot of people feel that same way. And that's, you know, to your point earlier about some people maybe not wanting to have tough conversations, I think there is a lot of love for the community. I think
sure.
People really do sort of wrap themselves in the yeah. local flag, and that's a good thing. But you know, you do have to be open to other things. Well, you know, on that point, let me ask you this: if one of your superiors in the Gannett organization, or just a friend, longtime friend, never been to Tallahassee, how do you describe Tallahassee to people? What's your How would you sum that up?
Well, I say
column today.
Yeah, I say a great big small town. That's kind of how I describe it. I think because of the universities, we get amenities and access to talent that you wouldn't get in a town this size, right? So, Yo-Yo Ma and Diana Krall and people like that coming to perform, and some of the academicians that you have access to from a learning standpoint. I think the fact that the Capitol's here means that there's a lot of those kind of public figures and a lot of knowledge in town to which you have access. Super close to the coast, a community really on the brink of even more greatness. I think if with the kind of the right people and the right policies, I think that there's a chance for Tallahassee to really take off, which is not to say it wouldn't preserve the charm. I think I just hate it when it's an or, not an and discussion, right? We can have what we want here. We can retain it, but we can also grow and bring other, why wouldn't you want to share this? Why wouldn't you want other people to be a part of it? So I think I would love to sell and have sold Tallahassee to people and said, hey, you should come here. It's a great place to be.
Switching gears a little bit, you've become kind of well known around town for your passion for weather forecasting. And I think you have a real knack for kind of boiling down a lot of intense information in a digestible way. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in kind of studying that and where you learned all you know.
Yeah, so I don't understand it. I'd be perfectly
Does
frank.
Anybody really?
I don't know why it has become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started in North Carolina, and so I'm a Lakeland boy, and, you know, it snowed once in the 70s, enough to cover car windshields down there, but, you know, I went up to school in Tennessee and then lived in North Carolina and became just fascinated with winter weather and found that there are many people who are. And North Carolina sat in kind of the perfect spot, right, because almost every year you got some winter weather, but it was infrequent enough to be really special when it happened. It, you know, to get three snows in a year would have been a really big deal. And so, you know, much like my concurrency with the internet revolution and the newspaper business, it also meant that there was access to a lot of information that you just didn't have before.
Sure.
Computer models started running and they became available on the internet. And so you really ended up now having access to almost everything that the real meteorologist, and let me hasten to add that they are real and I'm just a hobbyist, right? And so I try to include that in a lot of my posts. And they interact on message boards where you can get some insight into and actually learn a lot. And they even answer questions. So if you say, hey, I noticed that this short wave on a certain model changed from run to run, and how do these two disturbances influence you? I mean, you could really pick up a lot. And so for whatever reason, and I still don't understand it, I started writing the snow column, and this was still a print column for the most part, in North Carolina, and it just went crazy. People just ate it up, and I was actually much more known there as the weather guy than my actual job, right? And so when I came down here, you know, probably not a snow column, probably not going to be relevant in Tallahassee, although it turned out that it was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was.
In fact, when I first went to Fort Walton Beach, there was a really significant ice storm there. I don't know what it did here, but this would have been about 5 or 6 years ago. And mm-hmm. And I start writing about this ice storm is coming. And I mean, people thought I had gone off the deep end. I was the new guy, so yeah. I'd been there about 6 months. And I'm looking at these computer models, it's like a lock, right?
I mean,
it's, and you know, and people really, and then when it happened, oh, I mean, you know, I could have started charging people for winning lottery numbers, and they would have bought them from me because they thought it was a real deal. So that's how it evolved. Obviously, it's a hurricane thing here, not a winter weather thing, but for the most part, the same thing applies. And you know, what I'm really doing is aggregating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's kind of an aggregation. Here are all the possibilities. The weather people, man, they have such a hard job, and they're, you know, people's lives are on the line. And so they tend to move more incrementally. And they also have, there's this term called climatology, which is basically what usually happens is what usually happens. And so that sends them away from extreme results. Well, for Michael, that was tough for them, right? Because Michael was extreme, both in how powerful it was, the kind of time of year it was, the location. And so anyway, I could ramble about this. I'll stop and let you ask another question, but it's just, it's a thing that took off, and for whatever reason, it's nothing I try to do. I don't say, oh, we'll write it like this so that it will be appealing to people. It's just the way that it comes out, for whatever reason, resonates. And so,
well, I think that's, to me, it's kind of the interesting thing. Like, I, for anecdotal purposes here. I took a class in college. I'll never forget it. It was basically Weather 101. It's called Introduction to the Atmosphere.
Right.
And to this day, it was the most difficult to understand thing I've ever encountered in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was the only class I ever took where I had to curve. I remember I made a 55, and that was passing with flying colors.
Right.
I was really proud of that 55. Mm-hmm. But it's a difficult thing to understand. I mean, it's just a lot of moving pieces. And what I think you do well on that front is you translate it to things that people can understand, and it does resonate. And Tallahassee, I mean, we do get it's not snow, but it's significant weather here. I mean, it's in a variety of it. I mean, again, last year with Michael was just I remember. It's funny. I remember being on the golf course with you. Skip takes a lot of my money, folks, if you don't know. and you were looking at your phone in a really funny manner on somewhere in the round, and you looked at me and said, "Hey, have you seen this disturbance coming off the Yucatan down here? I think this thing's about to really, go crazy." And I just remember it because it was a weird time for us. My grandfather was at the end of his life. I texted my dad, and my grandfather was in rehab. I was like, "Hey, we need a plan here." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I mean, it came up so fast out of nowhere. But your updates were great. I mean, I don't know if there's a question in there other than just, I think a lot of people appreciate it. And how do you translate something like that that's just difficult? I mean, obviously there's a journalistic side to that.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, I think there's I try to be, in all of my life, I try to be very humble. This is an area where I, actually am humble because, I know how much smarter so we've got Ryan Truchelet, the weather tiger who does work for us. I mean, he knows so much more than I do about anything, and he's got a great way of communicating. And so I've just kind of do my thing. I try to disclaim it. And for whatever reason, I've gotten pretty lucky, and the kind of when it's time for me to kind of say, "Hey, looking at all of the forecasting, here's what I would aggregate," I've just gotten lucky. I mean, somehow I spit out Mexico Beach 2 days before landfall when somebody tried to pin me down. I try to not even forecast, because that's not what I do, and people need to be watching the National Hurricane Center, not some yo-yo, who is a hobbyist, but people want to pin me down. And so I just kind of say, "Hey, if I were doing one, this is what I would do, but please go to somebody else." And those have tended to be, kind of okay. So I don't know. It's a weird phenomena that I don't get.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think stands out in your posts is they're very Tallahassee-centered. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of folks around here appreciate that a lot, because when you're looking at forecasts and radars and stuff like that, you can't always decipher yourself how it's really going to affect you.
Right.
So when you post about, Tallahassee can expect this, I think that really helps a lot of folks. But what I was really kind of getting at here is I'm just curious to know, how much does your follower base grow each hurricane season? Do you kind of notice an influx in that?
Well, so the way I'll answer that is that I still, not with the frequency and intensity, but I still during the winter do some snow things for my old friends in Shelby.
Sure. Shelby peeps, as you refer to them.
And I finally just stopped taking friend requests from people up there because really to be perfectly honest, I'm barely interested in seeing cat pictures from people in Tallahassee. I'm definitely not interested in seeing cat pictures from people in Shelby, where I haven't lived for 6 years and will probably assume will never live again. And so my feed is open to the public, so you can see anything that I post, anytime. And so I guess that's the best way to describe it, is that it definitely gets people's attention. Mm-hmm. And so it's a phenomena it's weird. And it's maybe it's just about the passion I have for it. I was the kid going outside when I was 6 years old, rooting for a tornado, right? And so, you know, I'm fascinated by it. And we had ice storms in Shelby. If you've never been in a real bona fide ice storm, they're just like hurricanes. I mean, they bring, you know, there was hours in Shelby, North Carolina, where all 32,000 residents, zero of them had power because so many trees were down, you can't drive. And you know, nature is a pretty unbelievable thing. What happened with Michael is, you know, it's just beyond belief. And when you can see that coming, man, it's pretty awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, weather keeps affecting us here. I mean, Michael, you had the Cairo tornadoes not all that long ago. I remember the day, I kept the newspaper from the day my daughter was born. It was right before the snow, a few days before the snow happened. It was freezing cold.
Right.
It was a picture of the ice on the Westcott kind of stuff. But it shapes your life every day. And I don't know, I think a lot of people are into your post there. You know, kind of on some other things that I think you do a good job of focusing on, and I enjoy your tweets on a lot of this, is, you know, FSU sports. I mean, you come from a sports writer background, kind of an interesting time there too. You've got, you know, David Coburn taking over at the athletics department. You've got, you know, President Thrasher, who's done such a great job in general, but is, you know, about to leave. A lot of influx. You got Mike Martin retiring this week. You have football team needs a jolt of life. Any thoughts on just sort of that transitional time at FSU right now?
Well, yeah. So I'm a child of the Bowden era and was 10 years old when he first came. And so it's been interesting to see how the athletic program has evolved. And, man, some amazing success in, I guess they call them the Olympic sports now.
Yeah.
Softball and both the golf programs have done well. They've done well in swimming and in track, mm-hmm. and of course the women's soccer program has been
amazing.
Very effective, and has recently won a national title. You know, I think the what makes Florida State unusual is that you've got, really, in all three of the major programs, football, baseball, and basketball, you've had legendary coaches that have been at the end of their career in the last decade. So the Bowden era ended. You've got the Martin era ending. Leonard Hamilton looks like he's 58 years old, but he's actually over 70. And so that era is going to be ending sometime in the next, 5 or 10 years, you would think. And so those transitions are the toughest, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of universities never go through that transition of replacing a legend, right? So if you look at, Florida, Steve Spurrier was a great coach, but he wasn't there that long. That wasn't replacing a legend. Doug Dickey, they've really never had that, challenge. And Florida State's had it in three different programs, all within a pretty tight span. And so we know from where those transitions have happened in the past that it can be a 2-3-4 coach deal before you find the right one. How many did Alabama go through after Bear? You know, I could start trying to count them, Bill Curry, Gene Stahl, and not get to the end. And some programs never find that person. I think it's difficult and challenging. And, I think with regards to the football program, obviously last year not very successful. And the question is, does that just follow the Taggart pattern everywhere else he's been of terrible first year, then you get above 500, and then you knock it out of the park in year three, or not? And so clearly this year, is going to be hugely pivotal for him. Assuming Mike Martin Jr. Succeeds his dad, You know, I think he'll be in a similar situation. Can he, you know, how quickly can he succeed and how much rope does he have? And then who knows what will happen with the basketball program. So, you know, it's really a unique time in, I think, American college sports to have this type of succession happening in a relatively tight time frame, and to have legendary leaders in you know, all three of the programs, major programs.
I'm sure we could probably dive into a variety of other subjects and go on for another hour or so, and I think this is going to be a unique opportunity. We might probably bust this podcast in two, folks, so if you've made it all the way to the end by this point, thanks for bearing with us, because I think there's a lot of interesting topics in discussion here. But
yeah, the dozens of you that are still listening, we appreciate.
Well, it's fun. It's fun to take deep dives. You know, I as my wife tells me when she refers to how long-winded I can be, sometimes I like to take too long of a walk around things. But but it's fun, and I think people will enjoy hearing your thoughts on everything from the newspaper to weather to local sports and other issues that affect us each day here in Tallahassee. And we can't thank you enough for coming on the show and serving on our board of directors and just being a real force for moving our community forward.
Well, I appreciate what the Chamber does. Great organization, headed the right direction, and doing a lot of good for this community. So appreciate y'all very much.
You got it. We certainly try. Sarah, thanks as always for making sure we bring these things in for a landing in a safe and responsible way, right? but thanks again, everyone, for listening in. We always appreciate you, your support for the Chamber, your support for our community. And as always, you can tune into any of our variety of channels to hear this podcast and learn everything that's going on in Chamber World. Your home base for that is always going to be www.talchamber.com. And as always, go on, find us on social media, like us, favorite us, friend us, be a part of what we're doing. And if you enjoy this show, be sure to go on iTunes or your favorite listening device and leave us a nice review. And be sure to come back and join us real soon for our next exciting guest. Thanks, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Skip. Thanks, Sarah. We'll see you all real soon.